Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Bill, touch a country in the city.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. There's the Atlanta Rhythm Section bringing us back a little Doraville, one of my favorite songs. It's great to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. You're going to check that. You'll find lots and lots of stuff there that will help you in your small business. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blasingame. Ken Davis is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Our good buddy Ken Davis is back. As you know, is the guy who writes the don't know much about books, don't know much about history, don't know much about mythology. His new book, newest book, America's Hidden History, which I've told you about in the past, is outstanding. It's a beautiful book, and inside and out. And he's the guy you see on television quite often on the big channels. You know, you get his handsome face up there talking about historical things. And he's gracious enough to join us in times like this, as we have the run up to Independence Day in America. Ken Davis, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. It's always a great pleasure to be with you, and thank you so much.
Here now, when are you going to be on television?
I'm actually scheduled to be on tomorrow morning on the CBS morning show, but we'll see, because you know, sometimes the news media gets more interested in other events besides Thomas Jefferson.
Some little teeny bopper singer has a pimple, and they got to cover that instead of something really important.
Cast aspersions on anyone's skin.
That's my job, but, Ken. Don't be hoarding in on my work there.
Yeah, look, we are a celebrity-driven culture.
Oh, yeah,
and,
we are.
And I know a lot of people are interested in MJ, but I'm more interested in TJ.
I'm glad we've got this celebrity-driven culture, Ken, because that's how I get all my adoration. You know, me being a big-time talk show host and all. Hey, Ken, heroes. I've been talking about them all week a little bit, because I've been talking about from time to time, and I do this on a regular basis, how much I wish, it's on some ways, I wish I could talk to them, our founders I'm talking about, Franklin, Washington, Jefferson, Adams, Payne, you know, the list is long, John Jay, etc., etc. How, on the one hand, I wish I could talk to them. On the other hand, I said, I probably would look like, you know, a blithering idiot. Their minds were so incredible, weren't they?
Well, many of them absolutely were, and you've singled out a few of them. Adams, Jefferson, Franklin were not only the extraordinary minds of their time, they were extraordinary minds
of any time, exactly.
You know, we think of, you know, certain moments in history, you know, the Italian Renaissance,
right.
Shakespearean, Elizabethan England with Shakespeare. Great writers, and then this moment of political, this golden moment of politics, and I should sort of sidebar this by saying they were human beings too. They had flaws, they had contradictions, they made mistakes.
They didn't get along either, did they?
Not get along. This was not a colonial era Kiwanis club where everybody, you know, sat down and sipped port.
They didn't sing Kumbaya much in those days.
That wasn't what they were about. Some of them hated each other. You know, a few years later, of course, Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, who were, you know, New Yorkers who had fought in the Revolution together, ended up taking shots at each other.
Right.
And Burr killed Hamilton. So, yeah, the animosities and the political differences and the personalities is no different from today. They were very much alive back then, which makes their accomplishments, I suppose,
Every year that goes by, I think the incredible prescience and genius of their work is just amplified that much more every year that goes by.
Yeah, well, I had last night what I would describe as a holy grail moment. You might appreciate this. I hope other people will. The New York Public Library has a copy of Thomas Jefferson's handwritten version of the draft of the Declaration of Independence on display, and I got to see it last night.
Wow!
Two pieces of paper, both sides.
The original?
Both, This is how it happened. Of course, he had written a draft version that the Congress debated for 2 days, and it got scratched out and rewritten. And mm-hmm. So they asked Jefferson to write what they call a fair copy. And he wrote 4 or 5 of these copies and sent them off to friends. And what he did was include all of the things that he had written in the original that Congress then took out. So it's really fascinating to see this and study what... Jefferson thought all of those changes, by the way, were mutilations. It was just like any writer. He didn't like to be edited.
Right.
But to me, this was an extraordinary thing. This is only one of 2 known copies to exist.
One of the did you see Franklin's scratch marks on there? You know,
this is not the original draft that he wrote that became the Declaration.
Okay.
This is something that he wrote afterwards. The original.
Oh yeah.
That was then went to the printer to be turned into what most people are familiar with seeing, which is known as the Dunlap broadside, the paper printed version. There are 25 of those known to exist. I saw one of those last night as well. And of course, the most familiar with the one in the National Archives. That's written on parchment, which mm-hmm. is like leather. It's animal skin that's been treated, and that's the one that. Signers actually signed on August 2nd, not July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
The signing actually didn't happen on the 4th of July because they weren't, they didn't have clean copyrighted.
Well, they didn't have email back in those days. It made it a little bit harder.
They did not have email.
They didn't
have
faxes.
It's remarkable how fast the news did get around. You know, the next day it was published in Philadelphia in the newspapers.
Right.
It was read aloud. 2 or 3 days later, Washington has...
Ken, hold on to that thought. We've got to go to a break. You know how this works. Right back. So we're going to talk about going forward after this year. Tin Tail, stay with us. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ken Davis, author of America's Hidden History and Don't Know Much About History. It's an outstanding book. For people who don't know much about history, he actually does know a lot about it. He writes about it in his many books on the topic. Something under a couple of dozen, right, Ken? You've sold something under 1 billion copies galactically.
Still working on our first billions. You know, we have a ways to go to catch McDonald.
So tell us where we can find your books.
Well, the first place to look is Don't Know Much. And your public library. I'm a big library fan, as well as the online booksellers and books or audio versions. And, you know, the idea is to make this stuff, which is so dull to people, fun, interesting, alive, and relevant. I mean,
so does that make me officially weird because I don't think this is dull? This
stuff? No, it's not weird. And what the truth is that I've been doing this for nearly 20 years now, talking about Don't Know Much About History, going back 20 years. And that is enormous interest and appetite for history. Just people don't want it in the form they got back in high school.
But they don't want it like homework, right?
Yeah, we don't want homework anymore. We don't want to memorize lists of dates. We want to talk about Jefferson, the real person, and you know that involves the contradictions that this man who writes all men are created equal and complained that the king was preventing Americans from stopping the slave trade went home. That was completely dependent upon slave labor. The contradiction is so stunning.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Ken, we do know history. We know these guys are wonderful. They created a document and a vision and values that have endured all this time. A document that embodies all of those things. The Constitution has endured and it still is the keystone or the cornerstone, depending on how. Of who we are as Americans, how do you see do you believe the Constitution is going to hold up in the future?
Oh, absolutely. I think we're talking next 20 years or the next 200 years. That it's harder to say.
Yeah.
Look, the brilliance of the Constitution was the fact that it was not written in stone, and the brilliance of the framers of the Constitution, and of course for those forgot their dates. 1776, of course, is the Declaration of Independence.
Right.
Takes another 11 years for them to go back to Philadelphia and write the Constitution,
right,
because we did not have a perfect union, so we had to have a more perfect union with,
right,
the Constitution. The brilliance of it over these two centuries is the way it has changed and been adapted and been amended. They understood that times would change and the Constitution should change with the times. They wrote the idea into it that it could be amended. They made it difficult to amend. That's why,
right,
there are only 27,
right,
changes over 200 years.
We got to want it really bad, don't we?
And 10 of those, of course, came in the Bill of Rights right away.
Right.
So very few changes over the years. And it's still the Declaration, first of all, is still a model for independence movements,
mm-hmm,
around the world. The Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, the oldest written constitution in the world, is still the model for many constitutions elsewhere around the world. So it's a singular document. It will change, I'm sure of that, but it will also last.
Said, and from your mouth to God's ears, Ken, because it is a wonderful document, and it's something that the Declaration of Independence and the subsequent Constitution, which arose from that effort that was put on paper and that which was signed by those 56 brave men, all of that is something that Americans, I hope this weekend, will just stand up a little bit taller, shoulders back just a little bit more, chest out, chin up a little bit more. You know what? I'm a lucky person to have had these kinds of forefathers to provide us with these values and these documents.
Well, it was, he writes these words, you know, all men are created equal, that we have these inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not a guarantee of happiness,
right,
but the guarantee of the pursuit of happiness,
mm-hmm,
which was, of course, a change from an earlier Virginian who wrote The Pursuit of Property, and
right,
I'm glad that change. I'm sure many of us do pursue property, but
right,
it's not the same as happiness.
That's right.
And ultimately, the most important idea, the government exists with the consent of the governed. It's the most important idea in there, and the one I think Americans most forget.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you would agree that all too many of us think we work for the government.
That's
instead,
right,
of the other way
it's
around.
It's the other way around. Hey, Ken, thanks, for as always, for everything you do for us. Ken Davis, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.